All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of a Lucid Life podcast. It has been a while. As I'm recording this, it is April 21st, 2022. The last episode that I released for the podcast was April 27th, 2021, with my guest Ian, which was a great episode. I was very stoked on that, but obviously it's been a hot minute since I've done anything. It's been a hot minute since I've really done a lot of creative shit. So what I'm going to say is this episode is sort of just an explanation as to where the fuck I've been, why the fuck I haven't been doing any content or releasing anything on my podcast, on my channel, being off social media altogether. I kind of just want to give you guys a rundown on where I've been the last year and what caused me to be gone for as long as I have been. And it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that's gone on in the last year, as I'm sure there's been a lot of stuff that's gone on for all of you people as well. So, so let's just get down right into it, huh? So, April 27th, 2021. So I haven't gone back and listened to the past episodes, to see if I actually discussed him or not. I'm hoping that I did. Because if I didn't, then I really was a productive asshole of Fidel, but from September 25th to June 11th, from September 25th, 2020 to June 11th, 2021, I'd rescued a senior pit bull named Enzo, or as I called him, Zozo, a.k.a. Erzozo. He was my little man. I have him tattooed on my skin, and I'll go into that story also. But from September to June, I had this other senior rescue pit bull that I didn't actually announce it to the world, like in terms of social media, until December, because like part of me was still digesting the whole, there's this other dog that's now in my life who's not Fidel. There's this other pit bull that's in my life who's not Fidel. There's this other senior hippo that's in my life that is not Fidel. And initially, before Zozo came, I was kind of resistant to the idea. Before Zozo was presented to me, I should say, I was resistant to the idea because I felt like I didn't think I was quite ready for a dog. I didn't think I was quite ready to have someone else that wasn't Fidel. Like, it felt like I was dishonoring Fidel's memory by having someone else here that wasn't him. And so I was kind of like processing that. Like, Zozo had been presented to me a couple of times. And each time I said, no, I'm not ready. But then the information on Zozo's backstory started being fed to me. And Zozo was 10 years old when I got him. He'd been in the shelter for 6 months. He'd been with his family his entire life. And they just fucking dropped him off and just said they were done with him because they were moving or some shit. I don't know. Like, there is no fucking good excuse. But he'd spent 6 months in the shelter. And he was he was on death row. On the last day of him being there, he got rescued by this group called the Little Red Dog, where he was being fostered for 6 weeks. And that's where I came into the picture, is that he was presented to me one last time, and I started to really think about it. And, I'm not sure I've discussed it on the podcast, but I've discussed it privately with some people, that what I really want from all the shit that I do creatively, and what I'm hoping that will come as a result of the things I'm able to do creatively and some of the things that I've got going on behind the scenes that I don't talk about, is that I want to at some point be able to get a property, like a huge amount of land. The idea I have in my head is 100 acres, and be able to rescue as many dogs and animals as I possibly can, especially the senior hippos and all that, because of what Fidel meant for me, what Fidel did for me in helping me evolve. And the same thing with Zozo, and I'll get more into that as we go along. But that idea in my head of, like, at some point I want to be able to rescue as many senior, like, I have this dream of literally going into a shelter and saying, I'll take them all, and then being able to take them all. Like, I have this vision in my head of that. And the idea that if I'm going to get to that point where I'm able to take these other dogs, like I have to be willing to say yes to this one. So when Zozo was being presented to me one more time, that's what was coming through my head, was this idea that, like, if I'm going to honor Fidel, if I'm going to do right by him and help as many dogs as I can in the future, like, I have to be willing to say yes to this guy, to Zozo, to Enzo. And so I said, yes, I'll take him. And I didn't plan the day. I didn't pick the day that he came. It just happened that way. But he came on a Friday. He came on September 25th, 2020. And for those that have been listening to the podcast or that know me personally, like, Friday is the most significant day to me historically. I got cleaned from meth on a Friday. I got Fidel on a Friday. I found out about Fidel's cancer on a Friday, and Fidel left his body on a Friday. And those first four things I didn't actually know about until after Fidel had left, when I was writing my Facebook post, like a fucking long ass goodbye and love letter to him. And as I'm like going through it all, I just happened to glance back at the dates of all those things that I just mentioned, and they were all on a Friday. And so when I realized that Zozo was going to come on a Friday and I didn't pick it, I recognized the significance of that. And so he came, and he was like this fucking the sweet old man, dude. Like, just the sweet, sweet guy that just wanted to be loved and just wanted to be held and petted and everything. And like, but I was like still resistant to this idea. So even though he came, and I had this wall up of me not being ready to really love and give myself to this dog, because it, like, I kept thinking about Fidel, and I kept thinking about, like, there was this part of my consciousness that was like fighting this thing of like not being ready. My right brain, as I call it, my inner monkey, my ego, was like resisting this dog that was now here with me, and it felt like a stranger was in my house in a way. And so, like, you know, I remember I didn't kiss Enzo for like 2 weeks after I had him. Like, I would get close to like putting I would press my lips up onto him, but I wouldn't actually kiss him, if that makes sense. I would pet him, I would do whatever with him, but I wasn't ready to give him that kind of affection until 2 weeks, basically. And I didn't tell the world about him until December, and I didn't even really realize that I loved him until November. And this is going back into what the whole podcast is about. And one of the things is that the whole dreaming and where we go and all that type of stuff. In November of 2020, I had a dream where I was at my childhood home. And in the dream, for whatever reason, my childhood home back in Illinois, back in Chicago area. And for whatever, I was in my bedroom. And for whatever reason in the dream, even though I was in this setting, what was happening in the dream was that Zozo was now gone. In the dream, Enzo was no longer in his body. And I remember vividly the thoughts and the feelings of, now Fidel and Zozo are both gone. Now Zozo was gone too. And like, now both Fidel and Zozo were gone, and I'm here without both of them. And like, the emotions that I felt in that dream, the emotions that I felt in that dream told me how much I actually love Zozo, and I wasn't ready to accept it up until that point. But when I woke up from that dream, I'd have to look at my journal specifically, but it was in, I want to say it was like early to mid November of 2020. That's when I realized that I did in fact love this dog, and that he wasn't Fidel, but the relationship and the bond that I had with him was so close, so similar. There was something so familiar about it as well. And from that moment on, I made sure to let him know that I loved him and that I would do anything for him. Like, that he was my little man, you know? Like, Fidel was my guy, he was my handsome, my sunshine. Zozo was my kiddo, he was my little man, you know? Like, and that's where Adder Zozo comes into play, because, like, there's only one Fidel for me. He's the first face of my Mount Rushmore, but Zozo's the second one. So Adder is in, like, heir to the throne, heir apparent. That's where Adder Zozo comes into play, is that he was the next in line to my heart, you know? And I didn't announce him until the world, until December, but then the world knew. And I'm not even sure if I mentioned him on the podcast, but fast forward to which I feel like an asshole if that was the case, but it may have been. But so fast forward to the last episodes that we recorded, and I knew that Zozo's time was coming to an end, because even, you know, he was 10 when I got him, but he'd already had, like, been diagnosed with cancer when I got him. So, like, I knew that that it was going to be a temporary thing, you know, that this was basically his last day, that his last days were going to be with me. And, you know, around that time, I realized that his cancer was starting to progress a bit. Like, he was gaining weight, even though he wasn't, like, visibly showing that he was gaining weight. Like, his breathing was starting to slow down, and, like, there were just, like, some complications that were coming up, and I was having to do this maintenance with these sores on his body, and, like, there were days where I'd have to, you know, he had, like, these skin tags that would start to bleed, and I would have to, it was all this thing. And it was just this whole thing of, like, having to wrap his body and put him in bandages and all this stuff. And so it was very clear that his time was running short. And, you know, when April was coming around, it was like I knew that things were coming to an end. And the world had ended with COVID, basically, and the world was shut down, and I was on unemployment and collecting from that because I'd been furloughed from my job. And around that time, you know, I just kind of lost a lot of, like, the creative passion that I'd had. And, you know, so I basically was trying to spend as much time with him as I knew I possibly could, because I knew that his time was winding down, and he was just as important to me as Fidel was. And, you know, Fidel taught me that he taught me that unconditional love was real. He taught me that I was capable of giving unconditional love. He taught me that I was capable of receiving it, but he also taught me that I was worthy of it as well. And with Zozo taught me that I had even more love to give than I possibly could imagine, because I never thought that I'd be able to love anybody the way that I did Fidel. I never thought I'd have a being come into my life that meant as much to me as Fidel did. And Zozo was like, from the very first moment I met him, he was like doing this whole little thing where he sits a few inches from me, then gradually closer, then gradually closer, then gradually closer, until all of a sudden he's right up on me. And that was kind of symbolic for my relationship with him, is that he was letting me know that I had even more love to give than I realized. And he left June 11th, 2021, which is a Friday. Again, didn't plan for it to be that day, just kind of worked out that day. I had people come and do the thing at home, and it was really fucking hard. It was harder than it was with Fidel. One of the regrets that I have in my life is that I wish I had people he was familiar with come and do it, because he didn't know this person. I didn't know this person. And even though he was at home, I could sense his uneasiness about the situation. And he physically reacted to whatever the medication that they gave him was, you know, which is always going to be a really painful memory for me, is remembering how he physically reacted when they did that first thing. Because Fidel didn't have that. Fidel was, like, so fucking peaceful, and Zozo had one moment of, like, just... So that always is going to hurt. But, and, like, what I mean by it was harder than with Fidel is that, like... Like, the actual day itself was harder with Fidel, because it was like I didn't have the experience. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I didn't know. I'd never gotten to be there before. Every other animal that I'd had in my life, with Tiger, with Evie, with Jamie, I never got to fucking be there, even though I wanted to be, and even though I would have been. I never was allowed to be there for reasons outside of my control. But, with Fidel, I made sure that I was going to be there, like, come hell or high water, I was going to fucking be there for him, because he was the most important, and he still is, the most important being that's ever come into my life. And so, like, the entire day
leading up to it, I did not sleep. I didn't get any sleep the night before. And I remember, like, there was, like, this countdown in my head of, like, oh, you have, like, 7 days left. Oh, you have, like, 6 days left. Oh, you have, like, you know, so on and so forth. And then, like, literally, like, 24 hours before, there was this thought that popped in my head when I saw the clock of, like, these next 24 hours are about letting him know how much you love him. And from that point on, I was next to Fidel, like, the entire time, and I did not sleep at all. But the actual process of him going was, like, very peaceful. Like, I didn't even remember, like, I remember, like, having my hands out, and his head was just resting in my hands as he's, like, staring at me. And, I didn't even know that he left. I just thought he looked, like, tired. And, like, my vet had to tell me, Dr. Brink, she had to tell me that he's gone. And I was like, what? Like, that's it? Like, that was so fucking peaceful. And with Zozo, it wasn't as peaceful. Like, it seemed like Fidel didn't even know. And, like, whatever they used with Fidel was much more soothing or some shit than what happened with Zozo. Because Zozo, like, physically reacted. Like, he, like, jumped up and shit initially. And, like, so that's what I mean by it was harder. Like, him reacting like that was always going to bother me. And always, like, so that's what I mean when I say that. Ultimately, he left and he was... like Fidel, I was the last face that he saw before he crossed over, and that means a lot to me. And then also, like, after I left and I carried his body, like, we go and I get in my car to go take these, to go to, like, Kinko's to print out these photos of him and of Fidel. And when I get in the car, behind me I hear him breathing. I hear Zozo breathing, and, like, I turn around and there was nobody fucking around, man. There was literally nobody around me. There was nobody walking their dogs. There was nobody else out on the street. It was literally just me in my car, and I'd heard Zozo breathing behind me as if he'd just gotten in the car with me and was ready for a fucking ride. So it was like one of these moments where, like, it felt like the universe was talking to me, like, saying, like, he's okay now, like, and all this shit. And the fact that, like, he was also apparently born on a Friday, I found out. Like, all that shit just adds into how special of a guy he is. You know, so basically from that time, I was, like, processing the loss of the second most important being that's come into my life, you know. And work had just called me back. They tried calling me back, like, a month earlier, and I said no because I knew Zozo was leaving and I wanted to be there for him. And so I basically... For the last, like, several months, I was starting to digest with going back to work and not having Zozo and not having Fidel and remembering how to, like, interact with people in the real world at my job. And I'm going to be honest in that my porn viewing habits around this time had gotten a lot worse. And I know I've talked about this before in the podcast where I've been removing porn from my life, but during this time it didn't get any better. It got worse, and I fell back into some old habits, and I felt lost in a lot of ways. And it wasn't really until November that I started to really be able to separate myself from it, like, intensely, to the point where I'm at now, where it's no longer really a part of my life at all. And that was a process in and of itself. You know, basically I had to remove myself from social media. That's what I felt like I had to do, is I felt like I needed to separate myself from any real digital stimulation, because I'd been doing all this research on this shit called NoFap and semen retention, and, you know, reading this book called Your Brain on Porn. And it was like breaking down for me why, for me, this would be such an important step in my evolution as a human being. And with everything that came with my relationship with Fidel and with Zozo, like, it was just so crucial for me to do this shit. And so I just, like, dove into it, and I was like, I can't, this is the only thing that matters to me right now, like, is making sure that I can do this and get through this and evolve myself. And
And so that's what I really started focusing on doing. And like in November, I deleted pretty much everything that any woman had ever sent me, you know, like with sexting and, you know, nudes and all that shit, with the exception of like one woman that I'd worked with. I like got rid of fucking everything. I deleted all the videos I'd had. I deleted, like, and not even just deleted, because like I'd realized that there's ways of being able to undelete shit, essentially. Like, there's programs out there that you can fucking, like, recover files that you've accidentally deleted or purposely deleted or whatever. And, like, that was too much for me. Just that knowledge that those things are out there was too much for me. Because of how an extreme person I am in so many different facets of my life, I felt like the ability to possibly recover something in and of itself was too much for me. Like, I needed to not even have the physical thing anymore. So, like, the external hard drives that I'd had, all the porn videos and, like, all the, you know, the pictures that women had sent me of them and shit, like, all that stuff, I got rid of the actual hard drives themselves by legitimately, I was like, like, this might sound weird to some people, but it is what it is. Like, I was essentially recording myself the entire day as I was going through this process for, like, not even really like vlogging, but it was more just like, I don't know, like sometimes I like to go back to old videos of myself to kind of just see where I was at mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know, sometimes it's positive shit, sometimes it's negative shit, but like I like to go back and watch myself in that sense and see where I was and who I was in those moments, if possible, like if I have the footage for it, right? And so that's kind of what I was doing, was I was like cataloging myself in this moment. Because this is like such a huge thing for me to be able to do. I can't tell you guys how long I've been working and wanting to do this and just never had the chutzpah, the fucking cojones, the fucking balls, the fucking strength to actually do it. Like, I'm talking like as far back as when I got clean from meth is when I started really realizing that this shit was a problem for me. Like, that I might be a porn addict. And that was in 2010. And like in 2011, I remember really wanting to, and like there, I'm not going to go into detail, but basically is when I like was really acknowledging that like, damn, this shit might be a problem for me too. Like, this might be another addiction in and of itself for me. And I just didn't have the means of being able to stop myself from doing it. So I'm like recording myself as I'm doing this, and I'm legitimately in my kitchen flooding these hard drives, these external hard drives, with water in the sink. And then tossing them in the trash. And as I do this, I turn around and I start talking to the camera about how big of a deal that was and how important that was to me. And as I'm doing this, I see an entity. Like, I see this fucking, this mist figure in my living room. Like, just kind of like walking. And I, like, it was one of those things where in the video, I like stop talking and like I'm looking left as I'm like watching this. And I didn't freak out. I wasn't, like, scared, because truth be told, like, the couple of months leading up to this moment, I'd been having a lot of experiences, like, paranormal experiences. A lot of them at work, some of them at home, but I'd been having a lot in that time span. And so I was, kind of, like, in that moment, I was sort of just like, oh, here's another thing. But because of the context of what I had just done, the moment to me felt like the universe was just talking to me and telling me that I just did the right thing, that I did what I was supposed to do, and that that was a huge step moving forward in my evolution. And I go back and I'm in my, and even in like when I was actually deleting a lot of the stuff, I have these photos of Fidel taped up on my TV, like on the side of my TV. And I remember in some of the more emotional moments when I was going through some of this stuff, looking up at the photos of Fidel and swearing that I saw Fidel wink at me twice. And it was just one of those things where in those moments where I was struggling, I would look up and see, like, I'm not going to say that I actually saw him wink at me, but that's what I experienced, was the photo of Fidel like winking at me in these highly emotional states. Granted, okay, for all the, you know, the logics, the rational thinking, you know, logical thinkers out there who, you know, all that shit, whatever. Like, I'm just telling you what I experienced, okay? So, but in those moments when I perceived Fidel's photo winking at me when I was struggling, that was like the little oomph that I needed to move forward to just do the thing anyway, you know? So I got it done. And from that point on, I was like legit off of everything. I can only speak for myself in terms of the benefits that I've experienced in the time that I've been legitimately clean from that shit and off of that shit. It's been overwhelmingly positive. Overwhelmingly positive. And I don't know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's for everybody because I'm not sure that it is. I just think that it was what I needed to do. And it was the best thing for me in terms of my relationship with myself, my relationship with the universe, my relationship with Fidel and Zozo, my relationship with sex and women in general. Like, I feel like a much more whole and put together human being as a result of this. And it was really important to me. And then so going back into the whole, like, why it's taken a fucking year of my life to, you know, to come back. And for the record, like, as I'm speaking to you right now, it's now May 13th. So it's taken even longer to get this episode out because even more stuff happened that I felt like was distracting and, you know, I was going through. But even before Zozo left, I had interest in a woman who essentially ghosted me in the worst way I've ever been ghosted. I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of detail, but she and I were writing back and forth to each other. She joined the military and she essentially just ghosted me in the worst way that I've ever been ghosted. And I had like a lot of admiration and a lot of respect for her. And I admired her in a lot of ways because I saw how driven and passionate and motivated she was to seemingly push herself to be better and to accomplish her goals. And I saw a lot of myself in this person. But yeah, her ghosting me the way that she did really fucked me up. And that definitely contributed to that spiral that I was in. But then come November, when I deleted all that shit, all of a sudden I was in the best, like, honestly, it might have been the best thing for me is what happened with her, because it got me to the point where I was, where I was able to finally delete all this shit, right? So, blessings in disguise. And I hold, like, no ill will towards her. Like, I hope she succeeds in everything, and I would love to, like, my ego would love an apology and some self-awareness in terms of, like, oh, yeah, that was kind of a fucked up thing to do, but, like, you know, it is what it is, and people who are who they are. But and then fast forward to like December, and I meet this woman at my work who I had like more chemistry with than anyone I'd really ever known in my life. And if like it was, I was at a point where like I felt more, where I felt like I was as close to being my best self as I'd ever been. And there was a part of me that still didn't feel like I was quite ready to dive into anything serious. But the chemistry with this girl, with this woman, was like so fucking strong that I started to like toe that line with her. And I got her number around Christmas and we started talking. And for 4 months, it was like some of the most intense shit of my life. Where I don't want to go into too much detail about it because it's just like, like, honestly, it's just when I have talked to people I've confided in, and there's been like more than a couple handful of people that I've confided in the intricate details of my relationship and my situation and my involvement with this woman. Every time that I would confide in them and like update them, it would take hours to give the full context. So like, I'm not going to go into it here, but trust me that it would be its own episode and it would be a very, very long episode. But the long and short of it is that despite the potential I saw in this person, despite how much chemistry there was, and despite the fact that I actually had fallen in love with her, and we said I love yous back and forth to each other, it was just overly complicated in ways that were not good for me and were not healthy for me and were not conducive to who I am and who I'm trying to be and who I am striving to become. And in the 4 months that I was involved with her, I walked away 4 different times. And that shouldn't be a thing. But ultimately, that's what it was. And so when I was first recording this episode, she actually called in the middle of recording. And then I think it was the next day, actually, after I first recorded. So I think in the beginning of this episode, I said it was like the 21st. The next day is the final time that I walked away from her. And I haven't seen or spoken to her since. She's tried to reach out a couple of times, and I know that she has asked other people who are mutual friends or mutual coworkers about me or my schedule and shit, but I have zero desire at this point to try to open up that door right now because it's just not good for me. Yeah, so a lot of stuff has happened in the last year, to say the least. But like, I'm back at work and I'm figuring out that whole thing, but the creative stuff has always been in my mind. The YouTube creating, you know, the making episodes for my YouTube channel, No Spoilers Gamer, the making episodes for my podcast, A Lucid Life, the writing the story that's been in my head for years, that I've gotten, I think, like a third of the way into, but it's only like the prequel version of the actual story I want to write, you know, like all this stuff has been in my, and that's not even counting like the side stuff that I can't really talk about and don't want to talk about that could really be a springboard for everything. But there's just been a lot. And as I've been continually trying to be the best version of myself and all this shit and like evolve past this addiction that really was like the biggest addiction of my life. Like, I talk about meth, like as much as I do, and that was like a huge addiction for me. Porn was by far and away, like my sex addiction is by far and away the most intense addiction. And a lot of that stems from the fact that I found out during my research of all this shit that it literally, that porn specifically hijacks the same neural pathways in your brain as methamphetamine, as cocaine. And given the fact that I'd essentially been on meth my entire life, you know, from Ritalin and Adderall to then graduating and fucking actually doing actual meth for several years, that kind of fucked me up because I was like, yo, so that means I've essentially been on porn my entire fucking life and I haven't really even stopped since I got clean from meth. Like, I've still been using those same pathways in my brain, but just with porn. That shit fucked me up. That shit really fucked me up. Yeah, so it's been an intense focus for me to get this shit under wraps. So much so that I felt like it wasn't conducive in this past year for me to really to really focus on anything else besides like just making sure that I can handle that shit. And that's not to say that I haven't been producing any content at all. It's just, it's pretty much all been on my Patreon, which again, shout out to my solo patron who's been paying multiple times more than what I've been asking for monthly, named Vern. He's been supporting me this whole year, even though my content has been like less, in my opinion, less than stellar and less than consistent for sure. He's been there. So again, Vern, this is a special shout out to you. Thank you for supporting me since, you know, since you found me in my sketch comedy days, like sketchy as fuck. Like that means the world to me to have a real super fan like you. And I really, really appreciate that. And if I could get like 100 people who are as big of believers in me as you are, as fans, as supporters, like that's life changing. That's some real shit. So as far as where I'm at now, like I feel like I'm in the ending stages of this whole process. I'm currently talking to someone else. I've gone on a few dates with them, and if truth be told, if it doesn't work out, like I'll just keep focusing on myself until I truly, truly feel like I'm the best version of myself. Because that's what I know I need to do. But I'm going to be putting out this episode. I am talking to, AJ, who was the first guest that I ever had on this podcast, who real name is Jamie. She goes by Alien Jamie Lynn. She definitely wants to come back, and I'm interested in talking with her because, like, she's, you know, she was one of my confidants in this whole 4-month era of talking to that other woman. She was one of the people, because she knows me so fucking well. Like, you know, you guys have heard us talk in the podcast, but she knows me in ways that most people don't. She understands me in ways that most people don't. And she's one of the most interesting people that I know. And she's been going through a lot of shit herself. And I think that bringing her back on the podcast would lift her spirits in a lot of ways too. And I know that so many people and so many other guests that have come on the podcast loved my episodes with her because she's such an interesting individual. So I'm definitely going to be having her on soon, and I'm really looking forward to that. And there's this other woman that I work with who I found out is also really big in lucid dreaming and astral projection, who doesn't want to be named at this point, but she is down to come on the podcast, so I'm going to be bringing her on fairly soon. And you know, episodes of No Spoilers Gamer are going to be coming back out, and I'm going to be trying to get that whole TikTok shit going and all that. So yeah, this episode is essentially saying, like, I'm back. I don't have a real schedule in terms of, like, how often I want shit to be put out. I just know that when I'm ready to put something out, I'll put it out. And my hope is that sometime soon, hopefully in the next year, I'll be able to have somebody else helping me with this shit. Like, that I'll be able to actually have somebody paid to help me get content out faster, whether that's No Spoilers Gamer, whether that's A Lucid Life, whether that's both, you know, like, because what I want to do is I want to be able to focus on the actual creating. I'm not so much interested in the actual editing process anymore like I was in the beginning, because it's very time consuming. It's incredibly time consuming. And, you know, if I could pay somebody who's better than me to do it for me, to, and maybe somebody's, multiple people, to make it easier on them too, I definitely am looking forward to doing that, to get more stuff out to you guys quicker. But that's remains to be seen on when that will actually be. And as of this moment, it's more just like, when I got something for you, I'll fucking put it out there for you. So yeah, but just wanted to let you guys know that I am back, and I have seen that you guys have been, like, I've seen the statistics, I've seen the analytics, you know, you guys have been listening to A Lucid Life the whole year that I've been gone. I don't, like, that's fucking mind-blowing to me. People from all over the world have downloaded and listened to this podcast, even in the year that I haven't been actively making anything. You guys have been listening from all corners of the planet, and that's just so fucking cool to me. And same with No Spoilers Gamer. People have still been watching and subscribing and watching me play video games that I know nothing about, even in the year that I haven't been putting episodes out. Like, that's fucking awesome to me, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm back, and I look forward to having more conversations with you guys. And if you are listening to this and you want to support me in ways that you feel you can check out my Patreon, patreon.com/nospoilerslucidlife, and you will be able to get exclusive stuff for both A Lucid Life podcast and No Spoilers Gamer, as well as other stuff that I do. So again, thank you, and until next time, this is me saying see ya.